It's time for the Rink Rats. With your hosts, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace and Jesse Granger.
Rink Rats, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Jesse Granger. I know it's been a while. It's basically my fault. It's the first time that something is my fault and not Jesse Granger's fault. But it's kind of
sure every episode we've missed has been your fault, actually.
No, but No. That's not true because I did have a guest lined up for us to do like a midweek show. But you were like, "Ah, man, I'm busy. I got work to do." And then like, what are you going to do there?
Yeah.
I can't do anything about it. And it was a good guest. It was Jesse Cohen of all the Kings men. We were going to have him on. We were going to talk about how the Kings can't beat the Golden Knights. It was going to be good.
Having a job sucks.
What a jerk. Seriously, just a jackass, this Jesse Granger. Hashtag suck at Granger. Make sure that you throw that hashtag out every single time you tweet at Jesse Granger because he loves it so much. And it really is the truth. But all that being said, we do have a very special guest in the house today. So much so that he actually came to the studio. He didn't call in on the phone. There was no, we don't have to worry about a crappy connection. I'm going to let you do your thing because I know you like to open up your podcast in a very special way. So I'm just going to let you say the word and everybody that's listening should know who this is.
Hello.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Hello.
I'm here.
I'm going to give you that.
Don't do that one. You don't need that
the
one. That one's fine.
Confused.
Yeah. I don't know what that
is. How did that start? I get yours, but like, how did Jason's?
Well, what do you say to hello?
Yeah, he likes to be a part of things.
What's the correct response when someone just says,
"Well,
it's hello"?
It's not okay. There's
not to him though.
But there's an inflection with Ken. Hello.
Hello.
You know, he's ready to go. He's ready to start the podcast. Yeah. And then Jason's just like, "Hello."
I think it's just it's a tribal thing that goes back to the early cavemen where you want to feel a part of something, so you just come up with something yourself, and then you're a part. It's fine.
Yeah, okay.
The cavemen of Boston.
That would actually make more sense. I wasn't going down that road, but that actually kind of makes more sense.
That's ridiculous. I'm going to see Jason tonight. I'll ask him. I'll just ask him where the secondary hello came from.
Do not ask him about the a certain Billy Joel song. I'll tell you later.
Yeah, all okay. Right.
Don't do it.
It's
a long conversation you don't want to have.
Well, we have a long walk down to the visitors' locker room, and I'm sure that Connor McDavid's really going to be ready to start his birthday, so maybe I'll ask him just to entertain myself.
Good luck.
Oh, jeez. Okay. So we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. First and foremost, everyone wants to talk about this trademark issue because, you know, there's a team called the Golden Knights that are playing and winning hockey games and probably the best story in sports today right now. And now people just want to talk about copyright stuff instead of the things that are going on the ice. So, Jesse Granger, you just told us, you just informed us before we got on the air today that you spent 2 hours of your day doing what last night?
It was during the day, but yeah, I spoke with a bunch
okay,
of...
Okay,
that makes a huge difference.
Hey, the timing,
thank God,
man.
You clarified jeez. That.
I mean, attorneys usually don't work at night, though.
Attorneys don't usually call journalists either.
They don't.
Well, no, that's why journalists call the attorneys.
I call them.
Yeah. Oh. Are you on the clock when you
I
do that?
I wouldn't know.
Of course I am.
Oh, paywall.
Yeah, come on. So,
4 minutes.
Yesterday I talked to a couple trademark attorneys, including Jennifer Kraft, who is a sports trademark attorney. That's literally her job. I asked her what she does every day, all day long. She deals with exactly what the Golden Knights are dealing with.
But did you ask her what she does at night?
I did not.
Oh, bummer.
That was a mistake on my part. So
I'm looking her up now.
When you go to the Golden Knights response.
Hold on. I like how he drops the name like we know who that is.
It's Jennifer Kraft.
Well, talking to Jennifer Kraft.
She gave me some good information.
No,
I figured
good.
I'd give her a shout out. Maybe somebody is going to give her business now. Maybe somebody's going to call her and be like, "Hey, we need our thing trademarked," and I just got her business.
Do you get money in the event of that happening?
No. Oh. I'm just trying to help. She helped me out with information.
You should have worked that out beforehand.
She educated me on a subject that is important for me to know about.
Yeah,
because I'm covering the team.
Absolutely.
So now I'm helping her out. Maybe. Maybe not. But
maybe she'll retweet this.
I don't think she has a Twitter.
Oh, that's a bummer. See?
I'm looking.
So, anyways, when the Golden Knights came out with their statement regarding this trademark issue where Army is filing against the trademark to try to oppose it, everyone got a good laugh out of it.
It was my favorite thing ever.
Because it seemed like the Golden Knights were trolling everyone. Their response was, indeed, the two entities have been coexisting without any issues for over a year, and we are not aware of a single complaint from anyone attending our games that they were expecting to see the parachute team and not a professional hockey game. Awesome.
Who do you think wrote that?
Bill Foley.
I believe it was Peter Sadowski.
Oh, it's fantastic.
You'd guess it would be their legal guy.
Yeah, well, so good.
The funny thing is, though, I talked to these attorneys, and they basically said the exact same thing.
So that's legit.
That is the Golden Knights' number one argument. Mm-hmm. That's not like a joke, haha, everybody thought. No, that's actually when they go to talk this over in court. Mm-hmm. The Golden Knights' number one argument is, you're arguing confusion. Is anyone really confused? Are you being ridiculous? Which the Army parachute team is clearly being ridiculous. No. So there are two different ways you can oppose this, basically. I don't know the legal terms, but there are two different ways you can oppose this.
I wish Jennifer was the guest.
Exactly. Yeah, right. You can argue confusion,
okay,
which the Army is doing.
Sure.
And you can also argue that they are hurting your brand by or making your brand worse or building their brand off of your brand.
Got it.
The problem that she said, what she said, the problem is, especially with sports teams, is there are so many of everything that you just don't have a case.
Hard to argue.
There are, and then the Army's arguing the gold and black thing. There are a million teams with black and gold.
Sure.
They're arguing the Knights thing. There are a million Knights. There's a bunch of Golden Knights.
Right.
Like, how come, like, you can argue, if you're the Golden Knights, it's how come you didn't do this when the UCF Golden Knights tried to become, you didn't say anything. What about St. Rose Golden Knights? You didn't say anything when they did it. But all of a sudden, now that we're getting all this spotlight, now all of a sudden, oh, now you're upset with
it. Well, it's taking the focus off of what's really important, the parachute team.
Yeah.
They're good, too. Award winners.
Are they as good as the hockey team?
They might
though?
Be better.
I don't know. It depends
hockey
on how many.
Second, name me a better parachute team than the Golden Knights parachute team.
You know what?
I can't.
I would guess
Tampa Bay Lightning.
I would guess that the Air Force might have a better parachute team than Army.
Oh,
that's probably a huge rivalry.
God, you better hope Foley's not listening to this one.
I'm from Colorado Springs, where the Air Force Academy is located, so I have a bias. But anyway,
so last interview you'll get with Foley.
He doesn't have to worry about those. He's got McPhee wrapped around his finger.
So she basically told me there's almost no chance that the Army wins this.
Oh, bummer.
So everyone all these people there, Sand Knights, haha, it's hilarious. They're going to have to, this team, I would be willing to bet any amount of money on the face of the earth they're not changing their name. Now, if they change it down the road because they want to, that's different. Because of this, they are not changing the name. Because check us out. They have no chance. Army has almost no chance of winning.
Okay.
Even if the Army wins, that means that the trademark, they lose their trademark.
Don't have to change the name.
Mm-hmm. They still don't have to change the name.
Right.
The Redskins lost their trademark, and they have not cared at all. They just keep using the name. What would have to happen is they'd have to lose the trademark. Then they'd still use the name. Then the Army would have to take them to civil court and try to sue them for that. And she told me the chances of them winning that are one one-hundredth of the chances of them winning the other one, which is already not good.
Right.
So they're going to be the Vegas Golden Knights forever and ever and ever. We can just put that to rest.
I wish that you didn't say you'd bet money. I wish that you would say, if the Golden Knights do have to change their name because of this trademark issue, I will just allow Braden McNabb to hit me.
I'm down with that.
I will learn how to skate. Oh, God.
Yeah, you're already screwed there, buddy. What is it, 25 points left?
Yeah, here I am.
Yeah.
They'll never get 85 points. The good thing he didn't tell me something for 100.
Well, we talked about 100. Goodness. No. We've talked about 100.
Oh, isn't it?
You have to join a beer league basketball team.
So,
they're getting 100.
So, if the Golden Knights get 100 points, we're gonna put you on the spot because we've talked about it.
When
the Golden Knights get,
they're getting 100 points.
I agree with you.
They have to be horrendous. Go ahead.
Creative effect.
I'm annoying.
Yeah, it's okay. It's fine. We deal with you.
I'm not nearly as annoying as Catherine or what is her Jennifer? Oh,
Jennifer Kraft. What's wrong with her?
All legalese.
Like,
go ahead. Sorry.
Check it out, guys.
Doesn't have a Twitter.
When that's the worst thing ever. When the Golden Knights get 100 points, Ken, who will have been skating for about 2 months, a month and a half, somewhere in there. Oh, yeah.
They're going to get 15 points. How long does it take them to get 15 points? Three
weeks? No. I'm not talking about you join a beer league that day. Oh. I'm talking about Let's give you a couple of months to get acclimated
having
to the
learned
ice.
Learned how to skate.
I don't want you to die.
Oh, I'm gonna die.
No, you're not gonna die.
He's gonna die just learning to skate.
Yeah, no. Come on.
Beer league. Reason for not joining beer league is much more of I'm not a big fan of like commitment other than the whole married thing. But like, I don't like. I need to be here at 7 o'clock on Wednesday every Wednesday. Okay, right. Like, if Modern Family comes on, I'll probably choose that.
Let's amend this then. There's such a thing as pickup hockey games in which you can go
when you want to.
There's got to be. So if they get 100 points, you have to play the equivalent of a beer league season, which is about 12 to 15 games.
That's a lot.
You can pick and choose, and it could be over a year span.
Can we crowdfund the price of this?
I'll pay for you.
I need sticks. I just want to see.
I have a stick.
You're right. I have a stick.
And you have gloves.
I heard you play really good defense.
I don't have white gloves. I refuse to skate without white gloves.
Why don't you call Bill Foley?
He knows.
Okay. Well, just get on it.
He knows.
It's going to happen.
Davidson Adams knows. I need white gloves. Otherwise, I'm not skating.
Okay. Well, we can make that happen. I'm not worried about that.
Preferably Brad Hunt's used white gloves. Then I'll smell them.
This just took a really strange turn.
I'm a big fan of Brad Hunt.
I don't even know what to do with that.
Just move on.
You know, okay, it's real quick, a funny thing about Brad Hunt. So I was in California for the last game that the Golden Knights had. So Brad Hunt was being interviewed in the locker room after the game. And it was fantastic because I haven't been able to watch very many of their games. None of them, to be exact. So I get... You know, we're watching it, and everybody's like, oh, my God, there's Ken. I know Ken. Like, my wife's like, oh, yeah, I know Ken. And then my daughter's like, oh, that was Jesse. I know Jesse. You know, all that good stuff, fun. And then Brad Hunt's getting interviewed, and the interview's done, and my wife and my mom turn to me, and they're like, is he just the coolest guy in the world?
Yes.
And I'm like, yes.
Yep.
Yes. Like, one of my favorite guys on the roster to talk to. And it sucks that John Merrill's hurt, and it sucks that Lucas Pisa's hurt, but my God, you got to feel really, really good about the opportunity for Brad Hunt to play these games right now.
I love Brad Hunt.
And he's played well. I mean, that's the nice thing about this team is the bad part is your roster is so crunched and you got to send guys like Jason Garrison down to the AHL, and you had to do it with Tuck and Theodore at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. The good news is injuries are going to happen, and when they do, they almost lose nothing. When John Merrill gets hurt and Brad Hunt goes in, you could argue the team gets better.
It's just different.
Yeah.
It's a different style.
Exactly.
It's not worse talent or worse player or whatever. And we could make the argument if Griffin Reinhart comes up, maybe he'll be fine.
Well, and
who knows?
Obviously, Jason Garrison is a proven guy. I mean, if another guy were to get hurt and they needed to bring someone up, you bring Garrison up, and it's like I said, I don't know if it hurts them that bad.
For those who don't know Brad Hunt as a person, to explain Brad Hunt as a person, he literally, without joking, 100% serious, still can't believe they pay him to play hockey.
He lives
under the guise of, oh my God, they're paying me to do this.
And it comes across every single time you talk to him.
He's awesome.
A lot of reporters want to ask, what's this been like for you? What's this been like for you? You don't even have to ask him. It's just written all over his face. You walk in, and he's so gracious when it comes to talking to us after practices. But it's not just that. He understands his unique situation in that he is one of a very few people that gets to play a game for a living, and he gets to do it at the highest level in a great situation here in Vegas.
When Ken and I were in L.A. at the Staples Center when they played the Kings. We're sitting in the press box, and Brad Hunt comes up behind us, and he's like, have you guys seen that they've got popcorn and soda over there? He was like, he was so hyped.
He's got two bowls of popcorn, one cheese, one some sort of caramel drizzled with chocolate.
Right.
He's like, it's the best popcorn in the league. I love coming to Staples. And like the cool thing about him is when you look at an expansion team coming in, an expansion team does wonders for the William Carlsons and Marceaux and all these guys that have taken that step forward. Nate Schmidt's a good example. Mm-hmm. But those guys were going to be NHL players either way. No matter what, those guys were going to be NHL players. For Brad Hunt, He was not. Right. Now there's a 31st team. There's 23 more jobs. He gets one of those jobs. He completely understands that without this team, he's a healthy scratch every single night or in borderline the AHL. Player. Where now he's on a roster making a difference, and he is very fortunate that it happens to be this one.
Most guys are upset that they're up in the press box. That's the, like, part of the point I was trying to make. Yeah, like 90% of guys that are in the press, and they're not going to tell you that, but they're not happy that they're not down there on the ice, whereas Brad Hunt is legit excited that there's two different types of popcorn in the press box.
Well, exactly.
Well, and I was too. That popcorn was good.
It was. It was excellent.
We've got one type of popcorn at T-Mobile Arena. That's all I'm going to say.
Which is fine. I enjoy the popcorn. And the bags are too small now.
The bags are not big enough.
I don't
use the bag. Right.
I just use a cup.
But you get less popcorn per square inch in the cup.
I don't eat the popcorn, actually. I'm all about the jelly bellies.
So you don't put. So you just lied to everybody. Huh? Like, I put the popcorn in a cup.
No, I said I use the cup, not the bag. They have the bags over by all the snacks. I bypass the bags. I go over to where the water is. Sure. I get a cup, fill it with jelly beans.
That's it.
My vision of Jesse Granger is now takes a bag, fills it with popcorn, sets it down at his table, and then refuses to touch
it the rest of the time. Right? It's very confusing.
That's what I heard.
It's my popcorn. No one else is allowed to have it.
it's my right to have it.
You know, my favorite thing about popcorn in the press box, and I've talked about this a couple of times, the goal horn is so damn loud.
It is.
That if you have popcorn on, like, in your little work area, and that goal horn goes off, the popcorn dances.
Really?
Yeah. I took a video of it. Like, tonight, when they score, like, 7 goals.
Look at my popcorn
No, no, I'm just saying. Get the popcorn, even though you're not going to eat
this
it.
This is real life?
No, I swear to God.
Wow.
I swear to God.
It is extremely loud.
I love it. It's stupid loud. And I noticed it one time, and I was sitting next to Chris Chapman, and I'm like, hey, buddy. Pay attention to my popcorn the next time the Vegas Golden Knights score. And he was like, what the hell are you asking me to do? I'm like, no, seriously, it'll be worth it. It happens. And he's like, wow, that's fantastic. So we've had a lot of fun so far. Jesse bored us with all the trademark stuff.
I haven't.
But that's fine.
My bad.
It's okay.
Jennifer.
We're going to do something that I'm not aware of any other show, any other podcast really touching in on this topic just yet. And I'm sure Ken will take some of this and have his own hashtag cup in one podcast. But this is going to be the Rink Rats hashtag cup in one podcast. So why is it not insane to believe that this team can win the Stanley Cup this year?
I mean, because they're one of the top two teams in the league to this point.
Sure.
There's no reason to believe that they are not going to have a lot of home games in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
In a building that they simply do not lose in. I think that when you break it down and you look at, okay, the Blackhawks and the Golden Knights, we're looking at a 7-game series. There's no logical person that's going to look at that and say, yeah, the Golden Knights have the better players. But at the same time, I don't think you can predict the Blackhawks are going to come into T-Mobile and win 2 games out of 4. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
This team is so insanely good at home that if they get home ice advantage, it's an upset for anyone to beat this team in the playoffs.
So, and it's so funny because we've talked about expectations with this team, where at the beginning of the year, we hope that they're just going to be competitive. And then 10 games into the season, wow, that was a great start, but the other shoe's going to mm-hmm. drop and things are going to regress and they're mm-hmm. not going to get better. They're not going to improve or sustain what they're doing. And then they do. And then all of a sudden it's, well, they're in a playoff spot by Thanksgiving. Oh, well, they're in first at Christmas. Like, all of these things start to change, and all of a sudden it's not will they make the playoffs, it's they're going to make the playoffs. Now they're playing for seeding. Now they're playing for home ice advantage. And if you look at this team right now, if they've got home ice in the playoffs, they should not lose a round.
Teams are in trouble.
They absolutely are.
No doubt.
I guarantee no team in the Western Conference is looking forward to a series against the Golden Knights if the Golden Knights have home ice advantage.
No, I absolutely agree. And the great thing about it is you can – at this point, we've all kind of thrown away the expansion label because the team's thrown away the expansion label. But once they get into these situations where they're going to be favored – I really don't think that Gerard Gallant's going to have a hard time getting this team up to continue what they're doing.
I think they realize the history that they're making. Like, they've already gone beyond the history of every single expansion record. They've broken every single one, mm-hmm. basically in every single sport. They're at that point. But once you get in the playoffs, now all of a sudden, if you fizzle out in the first round, what was it all worth? Okay, you're in the expansion books, but that's what it's going to be.
Right.
If you win a round, you're the first expansion team to ever win a round.
Right.
First expansion team to ever win a second round. And there is history to it, and the story is so good, and they all know it. They all understand the story.
So I want to go back to something that you just said, because if you fizzle out and lose in the first round, what's it all worth? And that's a question that I think we're going to have answered here soon at the trade deadline, because when everything kind of came to pass the expansion draft and we looked at names like James Neal and we looked at names like David Perron, we assumed that those were going to be bargaining chips. They were going to help
Marchessault
too. No. That was going to set Vegas up for the future. So if George McPhee makes the tough decisions to keep James Neal, to keep David Perron, and we've already seen what he's done with Marchessault, and that's a great signing because Marchessault really makes that line go with Smith and Carlson. But my question is, when you look at that, if they hold on to those guys at the trade deadline and they don't do anything in the playoffs, is that going to be looked at as a failure?
If they lose them, then yes. If you end up signing Neal, which sure. could very well happen. I mean, I've talked about it since the beginning of the season. He's only 30.
Yeah. Right.
I think we think of James Neal as being older than he really is because it seems like he's been playing hockey since I was born.
Younger than Vadim Shipachev.
He is?
Who's that? Yeah. Yeah, that guy.
Who is?
Vadim Shipachev.
Never heard of him.
You've never heard of him?
Nah.
Okay, hold on. Let me use the alternate pronunciation. Vadim Shipachev.
Never heard of him.
No, nothing? Never.
I do so. I
he scored
this thing.
A goal for the Golden Knights.
Sometimes I have memories that I just shove deep down inside of myself.
Yeah.
One time I struck out in baseball.
One time,
don't remember
just one time,
only once. Yeah,
oh, okay.
It's the only one I remember.
Then he retired to Russia.
retired. Yet. I lived in Siberia with Jeff Glass for.
So when you say because you're right. If you're McPhee, you're taking a gamble because you. Can get picks for Perron and Neal.
Mm-hmm.
How good they are, that's up for debate. But there's no question that there are teams out there that are willing to give them picks for those two players. If you gamble, I'd rather have them for the playoff run, then they both end up, you lose in the first round, they both end up leaving for nothing, then yes, you made the wrong decision and you lost.
Sure.
But if you end up signing those guys, even if you lose in the first round, like they can be players going forward for you. So you know what I mean? Like It's a black and white. Like if those guys could end up being parts of this team still, which is something we haven't really.
How big of a gamble do you think it is?
I need to know what guys are offering McPhee.
So let's say I told you to get rid of both of them, I'll give you a first round pick in the coming draft.
Then it's a big
And a borderline NHL-ready prospect.
Then it's a huge loss. Then it's a big gamble.
So here's why I don't think it's as much. Because I think that this team is in a different scenario than obviously any other team has been in before. When you look at most teams at the deadline that think they need to add, they're pretty well aware of what their team has done in the playoffs, what their team can do in the playoffs, and what might actually happen if they do add or if they don't add. The best example that I should use is the Capitals.
Mm-hmm.
The Capitals knew, if we do nothing, we will lose to the Pittsburgh Penguins. We must do something. They have the knowledge of, we got to do something. They went last year, went out and got Kevin Shattenkirk, didn't work. But at least they gave it a go. They knew if we don't get Kevin Shattenkirk, we're definitely losing to the Penguins.
Yeah.
They now know if we do get Kevin Shattenkirk, we're also losing to the Penguins. Either way, this is bad. We got to figure something out. The Golden Knights don't have that knowledge. So if you trade Neal and Perron, you're taking away the ability to ever have that knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You never know if your team was good enough to win. So as much as I would love to have a first-round pick and love to have a second-round pick and love to have a prospect, if you don't have the knowledge of how far your team can go, you will never know how close you actually were to winning.
No, I like that train of thought. And one of the things that I want to talk about with those two players particularly is that they've had deep playoff runs. And I know that there's a lot of emphasis placed on experience in the playoffs and knowing how to get through hurdles. Marc-Andre Fleury's been through it. He's battled through it. But when you look at David Perron, when you look at James Neal, these are guys that have gone very deep in the playoffs. They are guys that have had incredibly painful defeats in the playoffs.
In important roles.
Most notably James Neal last year. There's got to be something to that level of experience in that situation that can carry over to some of the guys on this team that haven't really been to the playoffs, that haven't been that deep, that don't know what it's like.
If you think you can win.
But which I think at this point, this team has to believe.
I agree.
They have to.
This team has a lot more playoff experience than like just you would generally think.
Yeah, but not legitimate playoff experience. Nate Schmidt's been there. Yeah, he didn't play all that much. And when he did, he played bottom six.
It was a different role.
Please don't make it so that Nate Schmidt's out there minutes. Like, it's been that. They have fourth line players. They have third line players. Carlson played in the playoffs last year.
Wow.
But did he?
Shea Theodore.
Now his kind of went up to a much more important role. Yeah. England's got some. It's there. But it's hard to not be there. The league puts more than half the teams in the playoffs. You better have playoff experience, otherwise you stink.
But the Golden Knights have more playoff experience than teams that have gone 5-6 years without making the playoffs. Those teams have pretty much none.
That's a very good point.
No, and I absolutely agree with you. What I'm talking about though is what Ken's saying. It was in different roles, and not only that, but you look at those guys: James Neal, Marc-Andre Fleury, David Perron. They've gone deeper into the playoffs. I'm not talking about one round. You know, William Karlsson, one round, fourth line, gets smoked by Sidney Crosby, and that's all he saw. You know what I mean? Like, that's not going to translate. So if you've got guys that you can lean on, that's going to do something. But more than anything, and I know you absolutely hate intangibles. Hate them.
Can't stand them.
Right. But I look at this team, and I look at how they kind of came together as a unit before the season started. I don't know that you can insert a player into this lineup with while taking something out, or maybe not even taking something out, and have the dynamic stay the same.
Yeah, I had the same argument with you and Daniel Negreanu.
Yeah.
Put Erik Karlsson in here. I don't give a crap what chemistry or other...
I don't think it works.
Or what other bull crap... Erik Karlsson is just simply the best player on the ice all of a sudden. You can't
He hasn't
get
been
worse.
This year. He hasn't even been close to that. He has not been the same player that he was in the past.
Erik Karlsson would be the best player on the ice the second he steps on the ice. He's the best defenseman in the entire NHL. Do I think they're going to get him? No, but that's an extreme. Now, if you're saying like just a slight upgrade bringing guys in, I agree with you. You probably don't want to screw that
up. Is it worth it?
But that's my point. You're not – okay, let's put this to bed. We're not getting Erik Karlsson. It's not going to happen. Right? So, like, using the elite of the elite to make your example.
Oh, hang on. Leave yourself an out. We know better. We've got to stop making guarantees because
okay.
we know
okay,
better.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry.
99.99.
We are probably not going to get Erik Karlsson.
That's a skate.
You guys would really take him with 1 3/4 feet?
Yes.
He hasn't been very good.
Erik Karlsson on 1 3/4 feet is still the best defenseman in the entire NHL.
I just don't know what the price is. The price has to be...
Yeah, that's the problem.
You got to get a deal.
So you bring in a rental that's a slightly better. Is it worth it then?
No, I don't think it is.
My big thing on bringing in the rental is, where does he fit?
Exactly.
Is he your fifth defenseman? Is he your... third line winger?
Well, you're probably not going to bring someone in like that.
Like, that's what I don't...
But if you're trading for someone at the deadline, it's probably going to be a top six forward or a top four.
So let's say you bring in a top six forward. He plays as the third line winger.
Yes.
So that, I don't know how worth it we're talking about to do that.
I think that tuck line can get a lot better.
I agree. I just don't know that... I think there's ways to do it with the roster they have.
I agree. Especially with the roster in Chicago.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't know. To me, trading Neal and Perron is giving up on the season. Even if you bring back a hockey player that is acceptable, that is slightly the same, a little bit different, maybe even a little bit better, you're giving up a possibility to win with this particular team that you don't know if they can.
I agree. I think you keep them.
I don't think you do really anything at the trade deadline. Like, I say, you look at this team, you look at where you've gotten to at this point. There's no reason this has to stop. There's no reason this has to change, and there's no reason this team can't win in the playoffs. So you go to battle with the team that you have, because if you give up a lot and you start to sacrifice the future, then you've gotten away from your plan. I get that George McPhee had a 3-year plan, a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, whatever it is.
Have they not already, though?
No, I don't think so. I really don't, because
I think signing Marceau, even considering keeping Neil and Perron, is getting away from the plan. But I don't think it's a bad thing.
No, I don't think it's a bad thing either. But I think the plan was, we'll be kind of bad for now, and then we'll get better in year 3, 4, 5. I think right now it's, why do we ever have to be bad?
Yeah. Well, they are where they thought they were going to be in year 3. They're there now.
Right. So you don't start making the decisions now that you would have made in year 3 or year 4. Like, you don't start looking at bringing in a big free agent. You don't start looking at doing that stuff, because you've got yourself to this point with what you have, but you still have to worry about the future. You can't have 1 year of good success and then kind of throw it all away at the trade deadline this year trying to win the Stanley Cup, and then you put yourself in a bad position year 3, year 4, year 5.
I don't completely agree, because when you're talking about signing a free agent, talking about doing something in the offseason, you're going to have to make upgrades. You right now, I think when we were talking playoffs in 3, Cup in 6, that was the plan. Well, that's out. It's playoffs in 1, so effectively now we're in year 3. It is remotely possible that Cup in 1 is a real thing too.
Right.
So then forget about all the plans and just let's win now and then maintain for as long as we possibly can with getting slight upgrades.
When you talk about needing to upgrade in the offseason, I think this team can upgrade in the offseason without acquiring any players. I personally think next year a line of Cody Glass, Nick Suzuki, and Alex Tuck is better than the third line right now.
I would hope so. I don't think they're going to be ready, but I would hope so.
I think they could be ready.
I hope so. Brandstrom's ready. I hope those two are ready. I hope they draft somebody who they also think is ready. I just don't see it being likely.
I think when those guys came into camp this year, they weren't ready. But
there was no chance.
But even if they were close to being ready,
they had no chance.
The mentality of this team was totally
no way.
It's all for the future. We don't care. We're not trying to be good this year. It's having that extra year of their contract is more important than having a slightly better player
not
on this
anymore.
Team. Whereas next offseason is completely different the way they're making their decisions. So if Glass and Suzuki come into camp and are amazing, they're going to make the roster.
I agree with you
but
there.
But you have to be more amazing than William Karlsson, Jonathan Marceau. If Neil's around, if Perron's around, is Tuck still going
to
be there?
No, I think you have to be harder. Better than Cody Eakin and Brendan Leipzig, which I think they will be.
They probably are right now.
Maybe.
I mean, they're scoring possible. Like 8 goals a game.
Yeah, but there's more to there. Well, and okay. I'm not going to get on the Cody Eakin pedestal here and go crazy, but Cody Eakin not being there would be a problem.
I can see what you're saying. He kills penalties
very, very well. He's very solid.
There's a lot away from the puck that Cody Eakin does that allows that line, more specifically Alex Tuck, to get away.
He makes us not upset at Alex Tuck.
Exactly. No, absolutely. And it's
huge.
It's a thankless job, but
well,
by the way,
that line could be better.
Portland Winterhawks GM and coach told me Cody Glass is his best penalty killer on his team.
He's also 19, 18.
I'm just saying.
The Mike Johnston, right?
Yes.
That's the guy that couldn't coach Sidney Crosby?
Whoa.
He's doing just fine with Cody Glass. Maybe he's better than Sidney Crosby.
Maybe. It's possible. I'm just saying. So I'm going to give you a minute to talk about Tomáš Hika.
Oh, my favorite.
Because I know you've got ideas.
I don't even need a minute.
What do you want? 30
seconds?
5 seconds. 5 seconds?
He is Leipzig with the possibility of scoring. He's the same player as Brendan Leipzig, but he might score. Give him a chance.
I agree.
He's the same guy.
How
many goals did Brendan Leipzig score in preseason? He barely played. Like, none. I know he scored none. He didn't really play at all. He could score every single time he played.
With the exception of, like, one game.
Well, I don't... Repressed. Suppressed memories.
Oh, yeah, that's another one that you don't remember.
Those.
Okay, no. But, so what has to happen for Tomáš Hika to get into this lineup some point this season?
Any player getting injured from here until Spezza comes back, or the deadline passing. Because once the deadline passes, the 23-man roster's gone. So it's going to happen. They're going to give him a chance.
I agree.
It's just a matter of time. Does it have to be Leipzig getting hurt? No. Would it be easier if Leipzig got hurt? Absolutely. But if Perron gets hurt, if Neil gets hurt, if Carlson gets hurt, mm-hmm. if Smith gets hurt, whoever, right. he's the next guy up, and he'll have his chance. And he's the role of fourth line is jammed. Carrier's there, Carpenter's there, Matteau's there. There's a bunch of guys there.
Sure.
There's nobody behind Leipzig.
Yeah. I agree. Is he one of your keys to hashtag Cup in One?
No. Not at all.
Okay.
I just think my key to hashtag in One is I think they're better than every single team in the NHL. And I know that sounds wild. I think they're better than them. I've watched them play pretty much everybody. Who have they not played? Calgary. I got a feeling they're better than them. Yeah. The Devils. I got a pretty good feeling they're better than them. Philly. They're better than them. There's not a lot of teams I haven't seen them play. Now, can they win a series against every single team? I don't know. But when you say, do they have a goaltender that can steal a series? Yes. Absolutely. Do they have a line that can steal a series? Absolutely. Are they good enough defensively? Do they have the grit that everybody talks about? Intangible crap that people like to talk about. The game changes in the playoffs. Not that much. It does change, but if you play the way you want to play, they do things that other teams simply can't do. They outplay most teams that they play.
You hit on it, and when I did the story of can they continue this success, what's going to stay the same? My number one reason is goaltending. This team is 10th in the league in goaltending. Yeah. Most, if you add up all the stats, they're 10th in the league average. That's with Maxime Lagasse playing more games than Marc-Andre Fleury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All-star Marc-Andre
there,
Fleury.
There are chance. There. I mean, these guys could get hurt. Subban and Fleury could get hurt. But chances are they're not going to. Chances are they've got these two guys the rest of the season. And if one of them gets hurt, then the other one.
At least one. Yeah. At least one, yeah.
They're the only team in the entire NHL with two goalies in the top 10 in goals against average mm-hmm. and save percentage. They've both played out of their minds. There's no reason to believe that they're going to drop off. Fleury's been doing this for 13 years. Subban has not had a bad game.
Subban's going to get better.
Yeah, he has not had a bad game as a Golden Knight. This team can rotate their goalies unlike almost any team in the entire league. Mm-hmm. The Blackhawks had it a couple years ago. Crawford's tired, doesn't matter. Take him out, put Darling in.
Crawford's awful. Oh, no big deal. Scott Darling, go steal us a series while we figure out what the hell is wrong
with
Corey
Crawford. And then
Darling's
awful and Crawford went back in.
Exactly.
Yep. And that's exactly what the Golden Knights can do. You've got a Stanley Cup winning goaltender mm-hmm. with Fleury. And Murray won the last two. He was in there. But Fleury was instrumental
last season. Yep.
He got him there. Yep. And Fleury has won a Stanley Cup as the only goalie on the team.
Right.
And if he has a bad game, there's no team in the league that's more confident in putting in their backup goalie than the Golden Knights are with Malcolm Subban. I guarantee that.
I agree.
And you talk about the game changes in the playoffs. Goaltending becomes significantly more important because when you're playing a seven-game series, teams figure each other out. They start to find out how to play. The one thing is, if you can't score, you can't win.
Right.
We see it every single year. There's not an exception. A team with a hot goalie goes deep in the playoffs, period.
Right. And
they may have it.
And another trend that we see, and we've seen it with the Washington Capitals, when they fail in the playoffs every single year, they're traditionally a team that is very, very good on the power play. And in the playoffs, penalties aren't called as much. So why do they fail to score more goals in the playoffs? Because they don't get as many power play opportunities. This team, the Golden Knights, they're not built to only score on the power play. They get a lot of production at 5-on-5.
In fact, they're bad at it.
They're not very good. That's a metric that I'd like to see improve because you want to take advantage of the opportunities you get when you do get the power plays in the playoffs. But that's not the driving force behind their goal scoring. It's simply not. So that's a metric you don't have to really worry about in the playoffs because this team can score at 5-on-5.
And another thing I said was the things that they do well, travel, they're you can replicate them consistently. They're not goals. Goals are a fickle thing. Even teams that score a lot of goals, you don't get the bounces, you run into a hot goalie. Yep. There are a lot of things that goals can fluctuate. Forechecking doesn't fluctuate.
Nope.
If you can forecheck well, it's going to work against every team you play against. It's going to work on the road. It's going to work at home. Every night you go out there, you can
believe we are going to pressure the hell out of them. The Golden Knights lead the league in takeaways by 56.
Jeez.
The next closest team has 56 takeaways.
With games in hand.
Huh. The gold, just to put it in perspective, the Golden Knights have 458 takeaways. The Los Angeles Kings have 209.
Jeez.
That is insane. Yeah. And that is a stat that you can count on. It's not, we're having a really hot forechecking streak. We forechecked good like three games in a row. Like, no, it's not like that. It's not like the power play. No, it's not like goals. Not. You know, every single night we go out, we're going to out forecheck the team we're playing. Right. And the reason they can do that is not only because they have players that are good at it, but they're all fresh because they're the only team that runs four lines like that. When it comes to the playoffs and you're playing every other night consistently, that's not going to hurt the Golden Knights. That's going to hurt the other team.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I want to talk about what you said, the grit. The grit, the mucking it up, the we're, you know what? They're a fast team, but we're just going to lay the body on them.
Good luck.
It's not going to work. Like we've seen it in the past with fast teams where you got the big bruising team that's going to try to go in there and hit them, and it might work for a game or two.
The Ducks did it to Edmonton last year, so that's a good example.
They did, but like... It's only going to work so many times. It's not going to work for a long stretch of games. And the Golden Knights, I don't think, are going to be a team that's going to just abandon their game plan when they get hit. I think it might be effective for a couple of periods, maybe. But
A period.
Yeah.
They don't do too bad periods.
We saw it at Anaheim. Yep. Anaheim
they
came out.
Yep.
They tried to go out there. They were hitting everything. They were skating. They were matching and a little bit better as far as skating went, as far as speed of the play went. And then what happened? They completely gassed out in between the first and second period, and they had nothing left. We've seen the Kings try to do it. We've seen teams try to do it. They're not going to be able to consistently go out there and try to match the pace of this team and try to hit them and pound them into submission because they're not going to be able to catch them.
Well, and the biggest difference is the Ducks against the Oilers, since I think that's the best example because it was last year. Mm-hmm. It wasn't 5 years ago when teams were consistently doing it. The difference is you put out your bruisers, Bieksa, Kessler, your big, powerful forwards, and specifically tell them, ruin Connor McDavid's night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you score. I don't care if you get an assist. Your job is to ruin his night. Yep. Just make him not want to play hockey ever again for the rest of his life. And they did.
Can't do that to Vegas.
You can't, because who are you going to do it to? We're going to ruin Marchessault and Carlson's night. Okay, then
you're asking more. Now you already had an and in there.
Yeah, now James Neal and David Perron are going to go off, or Alex Tuch. There's not that one guy that you can, and like obviously the Oilers have Draisaitl and they have other guys, but it's not as spread out as the Golden Knights.
Well, look at what happened to Anaheim when they had to, after that Edmonton series, do the exact same thing to the Nashville Predators. It just didn't work because there was more than just Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
The Predators are very balanced. That team is scary good.
They're very
the
good, yeah. And we've seen that team that's very good, scary good, has a fantastic blue line. We've seen them lose twice to the Golden Knights.
Two times.
Shut out.
On the road and at home. And there's no reason why they can't do it again. One of the biggest reasons I think it is, I'm with you. I think when a team tries to muck it up against Vegas, they're going to skate right around them and they're going to get laughed at.
Mm-hmm.
There are teams out there that can do certain things. I think St. Louis is a team that can do some things that can be damaging. I think Dallas can do some things. I think even Nashville would be an interesting matchup. The biggest reason why I'm so confident now is when they play a team that plays like them, they're better.
Yes.
They're just better than these fast teams, too.
Yeah.
When the Lightning came in, they dominated the game 5-on-5. When the Penguins came in, they did great against the Penguins in 5-on-5. Winnipeg, I stand by. The Winnipeg game on the road, they win if Alex Tuch's skate is on the ground and it's 3-1 instead of 2-1. And Max Legace had a terrible game.
Yeah.
I think Winnipeg would be the best one of the better teams to play. And people think I'm nuts when I say that. I think I'd rather play Winnipeg than Dallas.
Oh, of course. Yeah. The teams the Golden Knights want to play, which is good news for them, are the teams that they're probably going to play. And that's the Kings, the Sharks, someone in the Pacific, because they have absolutely outclassed every team in the Pacific.
Same with Chicago. Yeah. Chicago, I would take. That would be bad for me because of my past of growing up there. I don't need that. But,
well,
but that would be a good team they should smoke.
But you're assuming that Chicago makes the playoffs, which right now I'm not convinced that they're going to.
And the other thing I like about Winnipeg in regards to who can you play in the playoffs, I'm not that sold on Connor Hellebuck in the playoffs yet. I would rather face him.
It's a huge question mark.
Than Dubnyk
or Ben Bishop.
Ben Bishop or whoever. Give me that team.
Yeah, the best thing about Ben Bishop is you know he's not going to get through the entire postseason healthy, so he'll probably get hurt in the first or second game because that's what he does. That's his MO. I mean, that's just what he does. So
he's a hell of a
they'll
goalie.
Be fine.
He's a
Their
very
backups
good goalie.
Are great.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about. No, they're not. I want to talk to you about William Karlsson. More specifically, I want to talk to you about his shooting percentage.
Everybody's favorite stat.
Yeah. So why is it going to continue?
The reason it's going to continue is because he doesn't really, as much as he joked with me and said, I only shoot when I score, which the more I listen to that quote, the more it's weird. Like that doesn't
It doesn't make any sense. You can tell English is his second language.
Doesn't make sense.
One.
Nonetheless, it's hilarious. But the reason I think it will continue is because he is picky on his shots. He doesn't take a shot where he does not see an empty part of the goal and that he can shoot towards that goal. If it's not the number one option, he will take the number one option. He will pass. He will give it to somebody else. The shooting percentage of the line as a whole is 15.9.
That's Which is unbelievable.
Very good, but not historically unbelievably 25.9.
Unbelievable good. For what we thought these guys were entering this season.
But that could hold. That could actually come down and William Karlsson not change at all. Because I would argue Riley Smith's is a little bit high. Marcia's shows might even be a little bit high. The reason why I think it's going to continue is because I don't think that these quote-unquote open net goals that he's gotten are going to go away.
No.
A lot of them come from unbelievable cross-ice passes from Riley Smith. That doesn't disappear out of thin air. Forechecking, three times, they made the goalie look like a jackass behind the goal, and William Karlsson's in front of the goal, just puts it into an empty net. Mm-hmm. One's a wraparound. That's fine. If you have that skill, that continues to happen. Am I saying he's going to end the season at 25.9%? No. But I will tell you, I think he's going to lead the league in shooting percentage when the season's over. I think he's going to have the number one shooting percentage in the league.
Amongst qualified shooters.
But and it'll be somewhere between 21 and 23, 20 and 23, where it always ends up. Mm-hmm. And I'm still going to tell you, he's not an elite shooter. He's elite at putting the puck in a goal that's open. He doesn't miss when the goal's wide open.
So let me ask you, if he's not an elite shooter, then is he just playing with elite playmakers?
Yes.
Yes. Think about this. He scored 22 goals. How many times have you said to yourself, what a shot by Karlsson?
Maybe
twice?
Two or three.
Yeah. Two or three. The overtime one against St. Louis,
yep.
right?
And even that one was
a one-timer.
About 60% of the goals open.
But he put it, I mean, the goalie, I mean, he was over. Jake Allen was over there and had his legs up in the air, and he put it like right on the money.
It's a good shot.
But that's my point. He scored 22 goals. Ovechkin has scored a few more than him. How many times have we said, what a shot by Ovechkin?
All
like,
of them.
Like 25
yeah,
times?
No, exactly. So because Ken and I had a conversation where he asked me, what does shooting percentage mean to you? And
What does it represent?
Yeah, what does it represent? And I said something to the effect of, you're getting better looks. If you have higher shooting percentage, I don't know that you're necessarily getting, quote, puck luck. I mean, there's some of that that goes into it. But more importantly, I think you're playing with really, really smart players, and you're the finisher.
And you're picking your spots.
Exactly. And that doesn't seem like it's going to go away. Jonathan Marchessault is still going to shoot from wherever. He's still going to be a threat to shoot whenever he gets the puck. Riley Smith is still going to have the vision to be able to find the right player, and William Karlsson's going to be able to find enough time and enough space to back out of coverage and score goals.
The chemistry between those guys is insane. When I did the story on Riley Smith, and I'm talking to Karlsson. I'm like, how nice is it knowing all I got to do is get in the right spot? Because in hockey, I don't think getting into a scoring position is that hard. I think the defense is spread out enough. You can cut to the net. Pretty much any player in the league can do that.
Mm-hmm.
How nice is it that knowing almost every time you do that, Riley Smith puts the puck right on your tape? It's awesome. He's the man.
Yeah.
And Riley Smith said
he's the real deal, by the way. Riley Smith the real deal.
That is confusing. But it's the other thing is, you're not – there's never going to be a goalie that's going to go into this game saying, I got to make sure I'm shaded towards William Karlsson. Because if they do, Riley Smith will score six goals.
Or Marchessault
will score six goals. Yep. Let me give you a couple of ridiculous stats. This season, William Karlsson has not shot four or more times and not scored. There is not a single game in which he has shot the puck five times and does not have a goal. In his career, he's shot the puck five or more times, eight times. He scored a goal in six of the eight games.
He picks his spots extremely well.
He understands when is the right time to score, and he's accurate.
And I was one of the guys that was on the, this is not sustainable, man.
And then I poked you every time he scored a goal.
And this is when he had, like, and I'm admitting I'm wrong, but to kind of, to my credit,
do we need to do another open for the show?
I was saying this when he had, like, eight or nine goals. This is, like, this was, like, half a season ago.
Yeah.
But I still don't think he can maintain the 25. I agree with you. I think it's going to drop a little bit, but I'm much more on the train of he can maintain this because he's not doing it with snipes. He's doing it by just being in the right spot. He doesn't take a shot unless he only shoots when he scores.
He only shoots if he scores. Yeah. Yep.
And then the other thing I argued is even if Carlson, Marchessault, Riley Smith, even James Neal, these guys that are shooting crazy percentages, if they drop a little bit, I think Colin Miller is going to score a lot more in the second half of the season. He's third on the team with 93 shots on goal.
Mm-hmm.
He has five goals.
Yeah.
That, now when you say, it's insane, there's no way Carlson can shoot that high percentage. To me, it's insane that Miller has only scored five goals.
Well, a lot of them get stolen.
How good of a shot, yeah, I know, but how good of a shot he's got. The dude hits it 106 miles an hour.
Yeah.
He's hit... They don't keep this stat, but I guarantee he's hit more posts than anyone on the team and maybe anyone in the NHL.
For sure.
He's going to start getting those. And those ones that are going through six different people on the way to the net and the goalie, it just happens to hit the goalie in the pad, a few of those are going to go in.
Yep.
The chances that he doesn't score more than five goals in the second half of the season are very slim. I think he scores 10.
Here's my concern with him is that he had been playing with a much more stay-at-home style defenseman, and it allowed him to be Colin Miller.
Mm-hmm.
I think now with Spezza out for an extended period of time, they're probably going to put Hunt with him. And I think that's going to take away some of it because some of the shots are going to go to Hunt and they're going to be hemmed in more often than they have been.
I can see that, but I also think a lot of his goals are going to come on the power play.
I would agree that has no effect.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You look at Colin Miller, I think that he's going to start getting those shots to not hit posts. He's going to start getting those shots to go through clean, and he's going to start scoring some power play goals.
I think he'll get more than five goals, but I think that his time on ice is going to decrease solely based on the fact of who he's playing with.
I can see that.
They will now become where I thought it was closer to three equal pairings. Now Hunt or Merrill with Miller is going to be a slightly notch below everybody else, and that's personally why I think we need a switch.
Over under seven goals for Colin Miller in the second half.
I'll take over.
I think he scores 10.
I think McNabb should be playing with Miller. I think that would accentuate what Miller can do.
I don't disagree. But although you kind of don't want to mess up the Schmidt-McNabb thing, which is they're playing really well.
Are they?
I think they are.
I mean, Schmidt makes up for a lot of what McNabb doesn't do well. So
I was talking to McNabb this morning in the locker room, and I was basically talking to
him.
Is McNabb name dropping?
Yeah,
he was the first to get that
first
contract.
Was Jennifer
extension.
Croft.
Come on.
So, all these huge names. All these huge names.
We're just going to keep our Brad Hunts. You can have your Jennifer.
I name dropped Brad Hunt too because he was eating popcorn with us in the press.
That was awesome.
But McNabb basically said he and Schmidt play extremely well together because basically everything McNabb's not good at, Schmidt is good at, and everything Schmidt's not good at, McNabb is. McNabb has a long reach. As McPhee said, he's got a long stick and he knows how to use it.
Great quote.
He's extremely physical. He likes to go into the corners and battle. Schmidt likes to go in the corners. I just don't know if he's great at it.
Mm-hmm.
But McNabb obviously isn't as mobile. He can't get out to the point as well when a guy's open coming into the net. He can't get over there as well. That's exactly what Schmidt does. And they both block shots. I think they're the two block leaders in the team block shots. I haven't looked in a while, but
I think time helps that.
Yeah, but I think those two fit really well. And I don't think they're ever going to be spectacular. Oh, my God, that pairing's on the ice. Look out. Like, I don't think it's ever going to be amazing.
Schmidt, McNabb, and the Golden Knights.
Yeah. but I think every single time that Gallant puts them on the ice, he feels confident that the other team's going to have a hard time scoring on that shift. I think they are a very solid line that you can count on.
No, I agree with you there. One of my keys is Pierre-Édouard Bellemare cannot have any more kids for the remainder of the season.
I think he'll be good there.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Because he
mathematically,
has,
I think no, we're I, safe.
Biology. Yeah.
Goodness gracious! It was.
What is it? Yeah, what is the study of humans?
Yeah, no, it's. I know it's not going
to
happen.
It's not biology.
Just a point that I was trying to make. He has to be on that fourth line.
But
without him,
we can mess with your point.
I know that, and I can annoyingly be upset that you're messing with it. It happens. It's okay.
I'm going to keep doing
it. Stop messing with his point.
Yeah, don't mess with my point, guys.
Stop inviting me.
This has been fun. I've enjoyed it. I really have. This is the last time Simbin.Vegas is going to be on the Rinkrats podcast. No, but him not on the fourth line, those two games that he missed, it really put a damper on what Gerard Gallant likes to do in rolling his four lines. You could tell he did not trust the fourth line that he had in those two games, and that caused major issues.
Completely agree. I have nothing to add to that statement.
Bellemare's been a stud, especially on the defensive end. Dude blocks shots. He just throws his body out there. And I think that's one thing. We've talked a lot about the bye week and how it can kill the momentum. Mm-hmm. Nate Schmidt said something that makes a lot of sense, and it's that the Golden Knights are relatively healthy as far as guys that are on the IR that are missing games. They don't have many guys that are banged up. A lot of other teams are in worse shape. But there are a lot of injuries that aren't on the injury report that nobody knows about. Those six pucks that you took in the last 3 weeks to your leg that are extremely sore, and it makes you a little more hesitant to lay in front of that shot because my right leg is beat to death. Mm-hmm. This week off, he told me, he's like, in 4 days without, because when it constantly keeps getting hit, it never heals. In 4 days, all those are good.
Mexico heals those so fast.
Yachts. I've heard the best thing for yachts, getting hit with a puck is spending a week on
private
a yacht
planes,
in Cabo.
Yachts, yeah. Cabo.
It makes a lot of sense.
Girlfriends. I went too far. Sorry.
Could have went without that last one.
I
think this bye week, I don't think it's going to hurt their momentum all that bad. I think it helps get them healthy. And every team obviously gets it, but the Golden Knights are a team that they got a lot of forwards that lay in front of shots because most of these guys came from third lines where that's what they do.
Yep.
And I think they can only get better.
I think they needed a stop and start over too. I think they needed okay, that's done. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. However, we're going to start a new season. I think they need to view this next 40 games, and I wouldn't even go that far. I would view it as the next, 25. Mm-hmm. Play well in 25 and then line up for the playoffs. But, they needed a moment to say, all right, that happened. That's in the past. Now let's move forward and make sure we're actually this good and we can start over and be this good. Because when the playoffs come, you're completely starting over and you got to be just as good.
So you think this break in a way is going to help those extra expectations from creeping into the room a little bit?
I think it just changes. It just changes. I think the expectations are there. Mm-hmm. It just changes the keep rolling type thing. You can't just keep rolling all the time. You're not just going to keep rolling all the way through the playoffs or in through the regular season, through the playoffs, into the whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. You need some strife, some animosity. They've had three game losing streak once. They came back and won five in a row. They got their doors blown off in Edmonton. They came back and won five in a row. They needed something to get in the way.
To the point of it's a new season kind of thing. Linda Cohn, I don't know if you saw the tweet, had a great idea.
Did you email her?
No. She tweeted it. Come on.
Called you at night.
Yeah. Me and Linda.
Right after Jennifer.
No, but she
just
had a,
talking
she had a great
three-way call with Jen and Linda.
She had a great idea. I'm not having three-way calls with Jen and Linda.
Thank God you said calls.
Heard it here first.
So she had a great idea that I think because they have this bye week and every team has their bye week at a different spot, but they're all in general for the most part within this 3 weeks.
Yeah, this week, next week. Yeah.
And it's so close to the Christmas break, it almost seems unnecessary. It's sandwiched between the Christmas break, which they get a week off, and the All-Star break, which they get a week off. Mm-hmm. And you're giving them this week off. It seems unnecessary. And she suggested moving it to about a month before the season ends. And every team gets that week off, and everyone can sit there and look at the standings, refresh, get your kind of started over, and now all of a sudden it's the push for the playoffs. And every team is going to be refreshed. Every team has had a chance to see where they sit. Every team can kind of do the math. How many do we need to win? You got like 10 games left in that last month. I think that would be extremely good for the NHL to listen to.
No, you're absolutely right, except for, you know, you cover hockey, and hockey players don't look past the next game, and they don't look at the standings, and coaches only focus on the opponent in front of them, and that's never, ever a thing that's ever going to creep into a hockey player.
Foley.
Ever.
I asked him if he looks at the standings, he goes, every day.
I love it when
attaboy.
In L.A., when the reporter asked Gerard Gallant, do you look at the standings? No. Of course I look at the standings every day.
It was the best. That was one of the best quotes.
Yeah. It was, like Shane said, it was Rick James. I never grind my shoes into Charlie Murphy's couch. Yeah, I remember grinding my shoes into Charlie Murphy's couch.
But so the only complaint that I have with the bye week is if you're going to do it in you got 2 weeks, and half the teams go in the first week, half the teams go in the second week. I'm not a big fan of a team that is playing games playing against a team that's coming off of a 5-day break. I don't like that at all. If you're going to do the bye week, you got to have the two teams that are playing at the end of their bye week playing at the end of their bye week.
I don't disagree, except for the fact that it's one of 82. We're eliminating 15 out of 31 teams in this 82-game season. Does it really matter? Like, I see your point, and out of fairness, absolutely.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But when it comes down to scheduling and the buildings and Lady Gaga and Taylor Swift's banners, it's tough to do. So to me, if it can't happen every time, so be it. If Vegas loses to Edmonton, which they may,
but
who knows?
It's not, I guess.
I see your point,
For me, though, you look at Edmonton. Edmonton's playing back-to-back games. Granted, they're playing back-to-back games, but they're playing it against two opponents that are coming off of their bye week.
That's not fair to them, but...
Or is it?
Would Connor McDavid rather have that and not get to spend his 21st birthday in Las Vegas? Because I'm going to argue on behalf of his side. I think he's thrilled with how this schedule has worked, and it's worked out perfectly to have his 21st birthday in Vegas and then have 6 days off following it.
It always comes down to the end of the year where there are a few teams on the bubble and you're like, well, yeah, the scheduling seemed a little bit unfair and now they wound up with 93 points instead of 94 and now they're out, and that's why the Tampa Bay Lightning didn't win the Stanley Cup last year. It's always going to be there. But when you really go back to it, if you didn't make the playoffs, you stink and it's your fault and it had nothing to do with the schedule. You're just bad. So stop whining. Stop coming up with excuses. You're just not good.
I do agree with that. They let in so many teams that if you miss the playoffs, you suck.
Your team's
bad.
Yeah, you're awful.
Cool. It's good.
You know how bad the Golden Knights would have to be to not make the playoffs?
Historically bad.
Like, they'd have to be basically what the Coyotes were in the first half of the season.
Essentially the Coyotes in the first half. That is maybe the most ludicrous thing. That's how bad they have to be. They have to be worse than I thought they were going to be for the whole season.
Who's worse, Arizona or Buffalo?
Arizona.
Really?
Buffalo's bad, but yeah, that
no, they've got.
They don't have Evander Kane.
Buffalo has Jack Eichel, and they've got 10 wins on the season. Like,
they stink.
Buffalo has to be worse than Arizona.
That was my favorite stat of that package of crazy stats, that the Golden Knights have won more games in that 12-game stretch than the Coyotes have this season.
That's crazy.
Jesus Fantastic. Christ.
I like the Stars one.
Okay, so we're gonna try to end this here because Ari's getting really mad.
It's only been an hour. What are we doing? I thought these things go for six.
We don't go Sinbin style.
Oh,
so
sorry.
Unfortunately. I don't think Jesse can be in a room with me for more than an hour and 15 minutes anyway. I know Ari can't do it. He's a very busy guy.
Smell.
That's what he says. And probably. They do the VGK Insider show here, so just saying. So
wow, that was a lot of shade now.
That's what I do. Will this team win the Stanley Cup?
Yes.
Come on, Jesse Granger.
This is the Cup in One podcast. Yeah, yes. They're winning it.
I don't see them not winning it. I like and let's just be honest, right? No one saw this. No one anticipated this. Like, as much crap as we give Jesse Granger about...
Everyone was.
About suck at Granger and you were wrong at the beginning of the year, your predictions for the first 10 games...
Horrendous.
First 12, 13 games were awful. I mean, horrible. So really, Ken, you should be doing the, my name's Ken Bolton.
I don't want to, though.
I know, you're not going to do it, but it's fine. So every time I sit here and say, nah, there's no way they're going to win that game, they win, convincingly. Every time I say, there's no way they're going to continue this point streak, they do, convincingly. Every time I say, well, the win streak's going to come to an end, it doesn't.
This chair in arms the whole time.
You didn't know that? Look, just look around you.
Unbelievable.
How are you so unaware?
Can we do this again?
Anytime.
Start it over.
Honestly,
this is unbelievable.
Restart it.
You guys have been standing the whole show.
We're just gonna do two or three episodes right now. So when I have to mysteriously go to California, everything will be fine. We'll still.
This team can win the Stanley Cup because they're better than almost every single team in the NHL.
Is there any?
Not on any night. Is always.
Is there any team that scares you?
St. Louis and Dallas.
Any team in the East?
Oh, Tampa Bay. I mean, at Tampa, if you're a hockey fan and you're not afraid of your team playing Tampa, you are a moron. They're unbelievably good and could sweep any team in the entire NHL, and it wouldn't surprise me. There's not a single team in the NHL that Tampa Bay could sweep, and it would be a surprise to me. That team is unbelievable.
I'm not scared of it because if they were to get swept in the Stanley Cup Finals, I'd still be like, yeah! That's all right.
So, like,
would you really?
Probably not. I'll probably be throwing stuff all over.
That's one of those memories you suppressed. Yeah.
The thing is,
what happened again?
I don't know. It's weird.
They made it there. I don't know what happened.
The what now?
No, but the thing is, the way the NHL playoffs work, we saw it with Chicago last year. Get swept in the first round. They look like one of the best teams going in. The way the NHL playoffs work, I'm not confident in picking any team to win the Stanley. There's not a single team in the league that I feel confident picking them to win the Stanley Cup because the playoffs are just so crazy. So am I sitting here saying the Golden Knights, I'm they are absolutely going to win the Stanley Cup? No, but I also wouldn't say that about Tampa Bay. That's not a damning thing on the Golden Knights, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Because that's just how the NHL playoffs are. But you give a team that's the best team in the league on their home ice with the loudest arena in the entire North America, and you give them home ice advantage, good luck. To the rest of the teams in the Western Conference.
Sure. Yeah, I think they win the Stanley Cup. Jesse thinks they win the Stanley Cup. Ken thinks they win the Stanley Cup. So that's how we're going to end hashtag cup in one. The Golden Knights are your 2017-2018 Stanley Cup champions. You heard it here. It's going to happen. Ari, stop yelling at me.
See you at the parade.
Bye, everybody.